Welcome back. In an effort to meet some of the great writers in America, we continue on that score, and our next guest is no exception. His name is Reed Coleman. He has been writing mysteries, winning awards, selling tons of books for a long time, 17 novels, I'm told, including the Moe Prager series. And now he's back to visit us in Boston with something that is very special to us. He's bringing back Jesse Stone, Robert B. Parker's Jesse Stone, in a brand new novel. And I guess this is your first one, called Blind Spot.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any blind spots when it comes to a character like this, or do you know everything about Jesse Stone?
I would never admit to that, having any blind spots about my characters.
How did this happen for you, before we talk about this book and the character? How did your connection to the Parker family, Bob and Joan, work out?
Well, it's an interesting question, because I shook Bob's hands once at the now-defunct Kate's Mystery Books, which is a store I miss a lot.
That's a great place.
Yeah, he was a real gentleman. We chatted for a few minutes, but I wouldn't say we were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Joan after Bob's death. They were both lovely, gracious people. But I didn't particularly have a connection to the Parker family or to the books. And I was approached about 16 months ago. My agent called me up and said, "Are you sitting down?" Which is never a good sign when your agent calls.
So they went after and scouted you out.
That's correct.
Okay, because a lot of times people say, well, how does this happen? And it's only happened with Robert Parker that there's so many people that have now taken up the mantle. Ace Atkins, a good friend of mine who's been here many times, is now doing Spencer, and there's another gentleman doing the Western things. But tell me how this works. So you get a call from the agent, then what do you have to do?
So if my agent says, "Are you sitting down?"
Right.
You never want to hear that question from yes. your agent, because it's usually like, "Remember that contract we thought we had?"
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, "Yes, I'm sitting down." He said, "Well, how would you like to be Robert B. Parker?" And it took me about a nanosecond to say, "Yes."
Were you particularly a Jesse Stone man?
Yes.
Okay. So this makes perfect sense.
It does make perfect sense.
And this is the first of four, I understand?
Four,
okay.
Yes.
And they're getting great reviews already. The first one's getting great reviews, and we'll talk about this. But when you come from a land of Prager and all these other guys that you've created, and then you have to write in his language, and I've asked this of Ace as well, how much of a leap in faith, just in terms of you as a writer, does that have to take?
The problem is, for Ace, that isn't the problem for me, is that there are 40 Spencer books.
Yes.
And, you know, there are more Spencer books than books of the Bible.
Yep.
It's crazy. That's so that there's a kind of religious fervor about Spencer. There are devotees of Jesse Stone, but people come to Jesse Stone with a little less of an expectation that they're going to get pure Bob Parker.
Mm. And by the way, Jesse's written in the third person, right?
That's correct.
This is the only one of his major series that like this.
It's written in omniscient third person.
Are you a first person guy many times with your other guys?
I swing both ways.
Okay. Reed Coleman is here. A lot of fun, by the way. You can tell he's got a good sense of humor about the work and about what he does. First of all, congratulations on this new sort of adventure for you. And Jesse Stone is synonymous, of course, with Tom Selleck in those movies. How many of those movies did they do?
I think he did six.
That's pretty impressive in a time when Spencer was off the air for a lot of time. So he became a pretty popular character to that side of the world, but also to the ones who love to read the books. What intrigues you most about Jesse?
Well, what intrigues me about Jesse is he's a perfectly flawed character. There are perfect characters and there are flawed characters, but there are very few perfectly flawed characters, in that Bob created a character who has flaws that are appealing flaws.
Mm.
And I like to think of Jesse as a guy who struggles, you know, he struggles with alcohol. He struggles with his wife, you know, his ex-wife. He never quite got that right. And of course, he has this huge regret in his life. He was one phone call away from being the Dodgers' shortstop.
That's the beautiful undercurrent of this character, and that's why Selleck playing the part made sense, because he was a baseball player, this minor league thing and not quite getting to the pinnacle, but always sort of chasing some of that. And in the new book, he's involved with this minor league thing in a big way.
Well, I think when you take over a character, you have to find your doorway into that character. Mm. And I'm a baseball freak. I love baseball. And baseball was my door. I would read the Jesse Stone books and I could hear the ache and feel the ache in his shoulder and his regret.
Well, you're a Brooklyn guy. You must have some ache for that reason alone.
Well, I was
young.
I was born the year before the Dodgers moved out of Brooklyn.
It's in your bones, though.
Yes, it is, yeah. And I'm a huge Mets fan.
Reed Coleman is here. He's now been tapped to continue the Jesse Stone series. And he's got this new one called Blind Spot. And the cover's kind of interesting. In fact, the cover reminds us of a Robert B. Parker cover. I guess the same people are involved with the presentation, the artwork, and it's a very interesting cover. May I just reach over for a second?
Absolutely.
And explain it to the folks. It looks like a cup of steaming hot coffee, and inside the coffee swimming around, obviously a shark. There's a shark fin sticking up. Very, very Parker-ish.
Yes. Shark fin, shark fin soup. No, I have to be honest with you. When they send the author the cover, they don't say, do you like it or don't like it? They just said, here's the cover. And it was beautiful. It's striking. I mean, my son is an illustrator, so I've been looking at artwork for years. And I said to my editor, it's beautiful, but what does it mean? and actually a fan of mine who won a book in a contest so she could read it in advance, advance copy, came up with a great explanation for the shark swimming in the coffee cup. And that was that what's more mundane and peaceful and serene than your first morning cup of coffee? And yet there's danger lurking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, for those people who are familiar with the character in the series, he comes east to, what's it called, Paradise?
Paradise,
which is a substitute for a real town called Marblehead, I guess, up in the North Shore, generally in that area.
Generally.
We don't want to specific example, but it's basically a North Shore community. You got the rocky sea coast and stuff. So here's a guy who's L.A. comes east, right? So he's a fish out of water right off the bat. And you would think with a name like Paradise, but that's the beauty of Parker and what you're following up with. There's always something lurking underneath the fold.
And things that come out of your blind spot are always the most dangerous.
Mm-hmm. That's a baseball illusion, too, blind spot, isn't it?
Yes.
So Jesse Stone, the character, do they give you free rein here? I mean, how does it work when the family, the Parker family, which has so much care and concern for the work, do they say, tell us an idea or show us a manuscript, or they say, go for it and we'll let you know what we think when you're done?
That was one of the things that I had some trepidation about, how they would approach it. So it turns out that they were amazing about it. My editor at Putnam and the Parker estate were great. They didn't give me a character Bible. They didn't say, you must do this. They didn't say, you can't do that. My editor listened to the story. She said, okay, go. So I wrote about 50 pages of the book. She read it. She gave it to the estate. The estate read the 50 pages and said, okay, we like this guy.
So, you know, what I've always loved about Robert Parker and Spencer is that he doesn't create a mystery that's just completely out of sorts or out of the realm of solving if you're a reader. He does throw a lot of things in that a good mystery writer does. And I'm betting that this is kind of what attracts you to him, because a lot of us love to read a mystery and know that maybe we can be alongside. With Jesse, is it even easier to sort of, because you know that this guy's got some issues that the rest of us probably have tangled with. Does that make it as a reader's book even more fun to try to solve the mystery, do you think?
Well, that's what I was trying to get at before. What's great about Jesse and his flaws are, although not all of us struggle with drinking, we've all struggled with relationships. Some of us struggle with food. Some of us struggle with drugs. Some of us struggle to make a living. I'm a writer, so I'm very familiar with that.
Yes.
So I think people, readers, take to Jesse because his struggles are their struggles. Mm. And I think they really enjoy the ride with Jesse.
I think, too, Reed, that because he does the right thing under a lot of pressure. And Spencer's that way, too. But Spencer's even more noble in many respects. But Jesse's pained and has to make a decision that oftentimes results in him being tossed back a few pegs. It's really interesting. And Selleck played it very well for the good-looking guy that he is.
I think Selleck is perfectly cast as Jesse. He can be laconic. He can be cold. He can... you know, the thing about Jesse is there are some characters who wear their hearts on their sleeves. The only thing Jesse wears on his sleeve is his sleeve. He doesn't give a lot away. And that's interesting that, you know, he doesn't reveal himself as in the way a lot of characters do. He'll never pour his heart out to the reader or to the other characters.
But that enables the reader in some cases to sort of think about what he's thinking about. It's challenging, but it's fun.
They inhabit him.
Right, right.
And that's, you know, it's one thing to watch somebody and go along for the ride. It's something else to really be on and go for the ride.
Where does this all come from in your background, Mr. Coleman? Because you're a very well-respected and well-read mystery writer. As a kid, were you enamored with the great mystery writers, or... you just like figuring out puzzles or what?
Strangely enough, I don't mean to make light of this, but when I was 15 years old, I watched somebody die of a gunshot wound right in front of me.
Whoa.
So if you go to my, I'm not to plug my website.
No, go ahead.
If you go to reedcoleman.com,
okay,
and there's a video, click on videos, and I actually go back to the spot in Brooklyn where it happened and tell the story.
Were you an innocent bystander here?
Yes, I was.
You were. You just witnessed.
Yeah, I heard a shot. I ran like a moron to the shot instead of away from the shot, and watched a gentleman die right in front of me. And that had a profound effect on me because it showed me there's nothing humorous or funny about violent crime. And I've always wondered. I think I've had a fascination since then about how that has reverberated through that man's family and how it's reverberated through the killer's family, because they never caught him.
Never caught the killer.
Never caught the killer.
Seminal moment for you, however.
Yeah, indeed it was.
And I imagine over the years you've spent enough time with law enforcement doing research to get more. But it's interesting because I talked to Joan Parker about this. When there's the violent moments in Spencer, and usually, you know, there's fisticuffs or gunplay, it just seems very real. It seems very, very real. And I imagine that over the years, that event, that incident where you see blood and what happens when life oozes out of somebody makes you a better, well, a more proficient writer of violence.
It's a strange thing to want to aspire to, but it's part of my job. I mean, part of my job is to entertain people, and it's also to inform people. And one of the things that I think that lacks in modern fiction is that second half of it. Like, guns are not... I shoot guns occasionally for research and because, yes, it's fun. But every time you pull that trigger, every time I pull that trigger, I am awed by the fact that anybody ever survives a gunshot wound. Those are serious things. And part of what I try to do, and I'm not on a soapbox, I'm, you know, you can feel about guns however you want to feel about guns, but know that they are dangerous and that one stupid moment can affect generations of people who haven't been born yet.
And even though we're talking about a Robert P. Parker book called Blind Spot, now written by Reed Farrell Coleman, and even though we're talking about a series, a Jesse Stone series, there's something that's lasting when you have a story and characters are not, they're done away with or they're saved, but their lives are changed forever. I think that's the thing about Parker's Spencer character. He would rescue a young child from abuse and in the interim, you know, break up some ring, but then you wonder what's going to happen next. And oftentimes you would see that child grow up. You've got a 4-book series. Is there going to be a link at all between books, or is that something you're still pondering?
We shall see.
Okay. Is that pressure the kind of pressure you love, though? Hey, I got a contract for 4. Sure beats twiddling my thumbs waiting for the next one.
It sure beats working for a living.
That's great. That's great. I want to mention, though, that you have won several awards and a lot of recognition. And for those who don't know, what is the significance of the Edgar Award when you're in the mystery writing business?
Well, the Edgar Award is given out by the Mystery Writers of America to honor the best works of crime fiction in the course of a year. It's named after Edgar Allan Poe. I was once the executive vice president of Mystery Writers of America, and it is basically the Oscars of mystery writing.
You've been nominated twice? Three times for the Edgar. You're also a three-time winner of the Seamus Award. That's to do with private eyes, detectives, and all that.
Correct.
And so many other awards. Also, one more thing. You teach at Hofstra occasionally?
I do indeed teach occasionally at
Hofstra. Well, that's terrific. That's a terrific university for writers, budding writers, isn't it?
Well, the ones that take my class.
Ah, see that? Very humble guy, Mr. Coleman is. So, Jesse Stone, is there any talk of continuing the films? I know that Selleck has a series, obviously, on CBS, and he made six of them very successful. And if so, would you be involved in any way, shape, or form at this point? Do you think?
If begging counts.
Okay.
I would love, I think, as I said before, I think Tom Selleck is perfectly cast. And I would love it, but that's not my end of the deal.
So. Doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is people are going to be reading Blind Spot. They're going to be reading every book that comes out. It's going to have more and more cachet, more and more excitement. Good for you.
Thank you,
my friend. It's nice to meet you. We've met many of the other members of the Parker family, so to speak, and to be a writer, to follow in his footsteps, doesn't get much better.
Big footsteps.
You're doing a fine job. Reed Farrell Coleman, his website is his name, reedcoleman.com. The book is now everywhere. You can't miss it because it's got the traditional Robert B. Parker kind of lettering and font and color and all that.
Right. So. There's three names on the cover, but mine's at the bottom.
Yours at the bottom, but it's in blue. So
that's true.
Reed, thank you so much, man.
Thanks a lot, man.
Great to meet you. And we'll continue with much more straight ahead here on The Jordan Rich Show.